Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am a little under the weather, so I don't know how this is gonna go. I think I have a cold or something. But hey, let's just get right into it so we can get this done and go do some work. Okay, so the first word is Gallica. Gallica. Noun, often capitalized, from 1848. This is a compact, fragrant European rose having usually pink, red, or crimson flowers that yield an oil used especially in perfumery. The Gallica rose. They're using the smell in things that make you smell good. Because some of us don't really smell very good, so we need to smell like a rose. The species name is Rosa Gallica. That's it. This is from Gallic French? No. The feminine Gallicus, Gallic French from lower. So is it the... It seems French, I guess. Or Latin. One of those. Okay, let's go. Let's make a sound. We're just going to go... Because I just want to go to bed. All right, next we have Gallic acid. Two words. You can also pronounce it garlic. Garlic. Ooh, I can't wait to get to the word garlic. All right, so Gallic or Gallic acid is a noun from 1788. This is a white crystalline acid C7H6O5 found widely in plants or combined in tannins. Found widely in plants or combined in tannins and used especially in dyes and as a photographic developer. So you can find it in plants and or you can combine it with tannins. I think they're not mutually exclusive. Is that the right phrase? If you are developing your photos, your film photos, maybe you're using this Gallic or Gallic acid. It is from the French Gall, which means gall, and that's it. And I think I need a sip of my throat coat tea. Oh, that is some hot stuff. Okay. Next we have Gallican with a capital G. Gallican. Adjective from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is Gallic, which would have been... that was the end of the previous episode, which was of or relating to Gaul or France. Number two is often not capitalized, which is of or relating to Gallicanism, which is our next word. But hold your pants real quick. Hold on tight. Gallican is also a noun. And so we're going to go to Gallicanism with a capital G. Noun from 1805. This is a movement originating in France and advocating administrative independence from papal control for the Roman Catholic Church in each nation. So what did they want to do? They were advocating administrative independence. They wanted to be independent from the Roman Catholic Church. Is that what it is saying? And it seems like this is related to Gaul or France because of the word and the etymology. So I'm just going to do a quick look up of this word, Gallicanism. What's that song? Gallicanism, is there some musical, was it from the, I don't know. Gallicanism was a doctrine in Catholicism, primarily in France, that advocated for the administrative independence of the national church from papal control. It held that the French king had authority over church matters within his kingdom, that a general church council was superior to the pope, and that the pope's power in France was limited. This view stood in opposition to Ultramontanism, which supported papal authority. So yes, this is like, no, sorry, we don't have to be ruled by you. We have our own thoughts and opinions about things in our area. in our kingdom. So that's Gallicanism. Now we shall go to Gallicism. Gallicism. Noun often capitalized from circa 1656. Number one, a characteristic French idiom or expression appearing in another language. And number two, a French trait. Like, what's a French trait? I don't know. Is speaking French a French trait? What would another French trait be? Drinking wine. Let's see. Gallicism. What I wanted to do was look up examples. Here we go. Gallicism example. It's a phrase in French, a French idiom or expression that appears in another language. I don't know. What maybe off the top of my head, I think of savoir-faire. That's French. We say that sometimes in English. What would be some other ones? I think I just had one in my head. What's the phrase? Que sera sera? Here we go. Let's see. Déjà vu or je ne sais quoi. genre, coup d'état, savoir-faire. Yes, these are French phrases that we say in English specifically, but maybe other languages are saying them too. Close the light is a Gallicism for the idiomatic English phrase turn off the light. Interesting. Okay, so yes, now when you say déjà vu, you're saying a Gallicism. Didn't know that word. Blah. Next is Gallicize with a C-I-Z-E. This is a verb from 1773, often capitalized. It looks like it's only transitive. And this is to cause, to conform to a French mode or idiom. Gallicization is a noun, often capitalized. So, the previous word was Gallicism. This is the phrase in another language, the French phrase. But this one is to cause, to conform. So you're conforming to it, or are you turning something in? It's something, it's the action of making one of those phrases, something like that. All right. Blah. Now we have Gallagaskins. 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 This is a noun from 1577. Number one, a loose, wide hose or breeches worn in the 16th and 17th centuries. And of course, I'm going to have to look up a picture of this. But we also have one B, which is very loose trousers. Sometimes I see people walking around and I'm like, wow, they are wearing some Gallagaskins because their trousers are very loose and they're hanging down at their knees. What is going on with those Gallagaskins? Number two is a dialect, a chiefly British dialect, and the synonym is leggings. So we got one that's very loose trousers, and then we have another thing, a type of pants worn hundreds of years ago that seem like they could be tight or loose. I'm looking up some pictures here. We got, yeah, some of these are just straight up tights or hose, as it said here. But then, yeah, some of them look like they kind of go down to the knee and they're kind of poofy above the knee. But they're not loose. You know, they're not hanging off the butt. But they are, they're loose from the waist to the knee. And I don't know, they look pretty comfortable. I gotta say, I would wear those. There's also a restaurant called Gallagaskins Submarines, established in 1972. I hope they're all wearing loose pants. All right, next. Oh, do we need etymology? This is from the Middle French, Gallagascus, from Old Spanish, Greguescos, which is from Grigo. What does that word mean? From the Latin Graecus. It doesn't say what any of these words mean. So you just gotta look that up yourself, please and thank you. Next is Gallimaufry. Gallimaufry, Gallimaufry. This is a noun from circa 1556. The synonym is hodgepodge. The example is a Gallimaufry of opinions. When you ask people about their opinions on who should be voted on, you are going to get a Gallimaufry of opinions because everybody feels different. Everybody, all the different opinions are out there, and you're going to get them all. You're going to get them all. You're going to get a hodgepodge, a Gallimaufry of opinions. This is a word that I think that we should definitely be using because it sounds so fancy and so fun and much more fun to say than hodgepodge. Hodgepodge is quite a fun word to say. It rhymes. But Gallimaufry is at least equally as good. This is from the Middle French, Gallimaufry, which means stew. So your stew is a Gallimaufry of ingredients. Just throw all the stuff in there. What you got, put it in the stew. It's a Gallimaufry. Maybe we can put in some fries. We will have a Gallimaufries. Next is gallinaceous. Gallinaceous. The end of that word is N-A-C-E-O-U-S. Adjective from 1693. This is of or relating to an order of heavy-bodied, largely terrestrial birds, including the pheasants, turkeys, grouse, and the common domestic chicken. All of those birds, those clucky clucky birds, they belong to this order. The order, so this is of or relating. Gallinaceous is relating to the order. The order is Galliformes, and if I remember correctly, the chicken species name is like Gallus gallus. I think that's right. And so you know, you can see a connection. Of course, you can see a connection because you're very smart. And now, related to all that, we shall talk about the etymology. This is from the Latin gallinaceus, which means of domestic fowl. So not wild fowl, but domestic fowl? There's a difference, but why is it specifically that? Also from gallina, which means hen, which is from gallus, which means cock. So, of course, the masculine word came first, and then the female one came next. Maybe that's not how it should go. Maybe it should go the other way. But anyway, that's all about the birds, the fowls, the pheasants, turkeys, grouse, and chickens. Next is galling, G-A-L-L-I-N-G, adjective from 1583. This is markedly irritating. The synonym is vexing. Ugh, you are so vexing to me. You are markedly irritating. When you are licking your finger and putting it in my ear, it is very irritating. You are being so galling today. The example is a most galling defeat. Oh, that football team was very angry about how they got defeated. They just laid down on the field, and then the other team took the ball in. Why? That's very vexing to everybody. Galling. Gallingly is an adverb. This word is from the third form of the word gall, which is over here, which is chafing, friction. Ah, this one, of course. The synonyms are irritate and vex. So yes, sarcasm galls her. She was very... The sarcasm, it was galling sarcasm to her. Now we have gallinipper. Gallinipper? Yep, I think that's what it is. G-A-L-L-I-N-I-P-P-E-R. Gallinipper. Noun from 1709. This is chiefly southern and midland, and it is any of various insects. Any of various insects. Specifically, though, some examples of those insects would be large mosquitoes or crane flies. And so back in, so in the southern and midland area of America, I guess, those insects, those types of insects are called gallinippers. Gallinippers by those local people. The origin is unknown. It was just somebody randomly said, "Oh, those things are nipping at me, and I'm quite vexed by them, so I'm going to call them gallinippers." That's a pretty fun word, I got to admit. I enjoy that quite a lot. Now we have gallinule or gallinule, G-A-L-L-I-N-U-L-E. Noun from 1776. This is any of several aquatic birds of the rail family with long, thin feet and a plate-like frontal area on the head. So the front part of their head is like a plate. I'm going to have to look up a picture of this. But we have a couple specific versions of this. The synonym is moorhen. M-O-O-R-H-E-N. A moorhen is a gallinule. And then B, one found from the southern U.S. to Argentina that is purplish blue with olive green upper parts, a red and yellow bill, and a light blue frontal area. That bird has almost all the colors. It's got green and blue and red and yellow and purplish, purpley, and I think it's just missing maybe some orange. The species name is Porphyrula martinica, and this is from New Latin gallinula, which is the genus of birds, from the Latin word, I guess it's the same word, gallinula, which means pullet, diminutive of gallina, with an I-N-A, and of course, I need to look up this word. I need to see this very colorful bird. Gallinule. That is the word that we are talking about here. And, okay, so what I'm seeing, yeah, I mean, okay, that what they said was correct. Shocking. Shocking that the dictionary was correct in everything that it said. So this bird. Where do we begin even? I don't know. Let's start with the face. The front half of the beak looks yellow. The back half of the beak is pretty red, red and orange. The plate, so it starts at the top of the beak, and it's just kind of this strong, hard plate that goes up to the forehead, almost to the top of the head. And this looks orange on this one, and it has sort of a rounded top. You could maybe knock on it. It looks pretty hard. And so that's the first part. The body, the head is pretty dark. But then as you go looking down the body, on a lot of these, the sort of the front part of the bird down, the breast, the chest, the belly, looks like a very dark blue. The back with the wings, the whole back of the bird looks like it's that more olive green kind of color. The legs in most of these are yellow, but some of them are orange, some of them are green. And yes, they have these long, thin legs. They look very silly. They look like a cartoon. The legs are kind of long and skinny, but then their toes just go on forever. Yeah, the gallinule. Look it up or I'll post a picture on the social media, and it's a very fun-looking bird. Okay, now, that was that one. Now we're going to go to Galliot, G-A-L-L-I-O-T, or just one L. That's fine, too. And then I think a couple episodes ago, we had another spelling of it somewhere. There is fine. Okay, so Galliot. This is a noun from the 14th century. Number one, a small, swift galley. We learned about the galley in the couple episodes ago. Or just in the previous episode there. We got a number of galleys. So this galliot is a small, swift galley formerly used in the Mediterranean. So I'm just going to say it's a boat. Number two is a long, narrow, shallow draft Dutch merchant sailing ship. This is a very specific kind of boat for number two. So The etymology says this is from the Middle Latin galliota, which is from Gallia, which means galley. But the number two definition, this Dutch merchant sailing ship, has a slightly different etymology, although I think we can assume it's related. Specifically, it's from the Dutch galjoot, which is G-A-L-J-O-O-T. And it looks like it all just comes from galley and boats and those sorts of things. The galliot. The galliot. Let's hop in the galliot and take a little ride through the Mediterranean. Let's see what we see. Let's go say hi. Let's go say hi to Africa. Let's go all the way down to Africa. Next. We have gallipot. G-A-L-L-I-P-O-T. Gallipot is a noun from the 15th century. Number one, a small, usually ceramic vessel is a gallipot. And the word pot is right in there. I think of a ceramic vessel as sometimes a pot. Number two is archaic, and the synonym is druggist. So maybe the druggist, back in the day, they were mixing up all of their medicines and potions and prescriptions in this type of ceramic vessel. And so they called the person the gallipot, or vice versa. Maybe they were called that, and then the thing that they used became the gallipot. Gallipot. This is from Middle English, gallipot, which is two words, G-A-L-Y-P-O-T-T. And it doesn't say what that means, but I'm just going to assume the person with the drugs. Blah. Next is gallium. Noun from 1875. This is a bluish-white metallic element obtained especially as a byproduct in refining various ores and used especially in semiconductors and optoelectronic devices. And it says to go see the element table, which we did a while ago. This is from the Latin gallus, which means cock, back to the bird thing. It's intended as a translation of the surname of Paul Lecoq de Boisbaudran, or Boisbaudran, who was a French chemist who died in 1912. So they didn't... This is such a funny way to name a thing. They didn't take his name. They took part of his name, which is Lecoq. Coq is there, L-E-C-O-Q. They took the cock part and took the Latin word for cock, 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 which is gallus, and then they named it after that word. What a weird way to name an element, or just anything. All right, fine. I mean, they could have been Lecoqium, or Boisbaudranium. Well, it could have been any one of those, but no. They went with gallium. All right, well, I will absolutely be telling all of my friends about that etymology later. Was gallium found in galena? It seems like maybe it's, yeah, ore of lead. I'm sure it's related somehow. All right, let's do one more word for this episode. I'm beat. I want to go take a nap. We have gallium arsenide. Two words. The second word is A-R-S-E-N. I-D-E, noun from circa 1961. This is a synthetic compound, G-A, gallium, A-S, arsenic, used especially as a semiconducting material. And that's it for that one. That's all you're going to get. And now we must pick a word of the episode. Today we had gallica, gallic acid, gallican, gallicanism, gallicism, gallicize, gallagaskins, gallimofry, gallinaceous, galling, gallinipper, gallinule, galliot, gallipot, gallium, and gallium arsenide. While I particularly love the etymology for gallium about this person, Paul Lecoq, I enjoyed the learning of the word gallinipper, which is bugs. This is just bugs. There were some other good stuff in here. Interesting to learn about the French idiom phrase, which is the Gallicism. But I feel like I need to pick Gallimaufry as the word of the episode. This is the hodgepodge whole. So, I don't know. Maybe the song is going to be, "This podcast is a Gallimaufry, the Gallimaufry of words in this podcast. All the words coming together like a stew. It's a Gallimaufry." Look at that. Look at that. Look at what we did today. We made it all amazing. Let's talk about another word, another movie. We already talked about way too many words. Let's talk about another movie real quick, which is McCabe and Mrs. Miller. This is another Robert Altman movie, and very different from Nashville in that it takes place many years ago. It's a period piece. I think it's based off of a book, a novel, and it's the story of a guy who's got some money and is able to make money, maybe playing some poker, and he basically builds up a town. He builds up a, to put it bluntly, a whorehouse in a town, and is giving people jobs and bringing money into the town, and then it just goes on from there. And it's about his relationship with the woman who helped him. I mean, he would not have probably been so successful if it weren't for this woman. She knew what was going on. She knew how to do this right. And so it's about their relationship and the other people in this town and stuff. And it's kind of it has a bit of a moody vibe at times, and there's some interesting stuff in there. So, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, and very beautiful shots sometimes, too. Yes. Watch it, please and thank you. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.